The Senate has approved close to another $500 million in federal stimulus funding, mainly in efforts to help small business and their employees weather the current coronavirus-related slowdowns and shutdowns. Ninth District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith joins Evan Jones and me live by phone to talk about this and other matters now before Washington. Congressman Griffith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Good. It's good to have you here. And Congressman, we have to begin with this morning, how this is going to take place. It seems to be a rapidly evolving scenario. From what you understand, what is the plan now in the House?
Well, the plan is that we'll come in on Thursday. We will vote on the proposal sent over by the Senate. That most likely will be approved. And then there's apparently going to be a rules change proposed by Nancy Pelosi to allow for proxy voting. I'm totally opposed to that. I think it's bad for the Republic long term. It would allow a single member of the Democrats, at least what they tell us, they haven't even shown us the actual text yet, but what we have been able to figure out is if one or two members of the Democrat Party were to show up and one or two members of the Republican Party show up, they can be carrying the proxies of everybody else. That's not good for the Republic. And I'm reminded of Caesar Romney, who rode through the night in a storm, suffering from face cancer that would ultimately kill him, severe asthma and gout, to get to the Continental Congress to cast a vote on the Declaration of Independence. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're elected officials. We ask to have these jobs. Absent some immediate health concern, there are some people who are susceptible to the COVID-19, but absent some legitimate health concern, I feel like I have a duty to be there. I don't think that we should be doing proxy voting. We should have a quorum there. They're also going to allow these people to count as part of the quorum so that, you know, two or three people suddenly counts as a quorum. I don't think that's constitutional. So that's a big problem. I think that the additional money, particularly for PPP, is going to pass fairly significantly, but we are getting close to a time where we're going to have to make serious steps to reopen our economy.
Congressman, good morning. You voted for the previous stimulus package, saying while it had flaws, it wasn't the best interest of many businesses and their workers, employees in your district. Do you feel as confident about this latest proposal?
I do. I think that it's narrow enough. Now, doesn't mean it's perfect. I think it's narrow enough. You know, we're going to help some rural hospitals out. That's good. We're going to have more money because the PPP program that helps pay employees so that even if your business isn't operating at full steam, you can keep your employees paid and ready to go when the economy does open up. I think that's important, and it was so popular that we ran out of money, and we're going to refund or replenish that fund so that even more businesses, and I know a number of businesses in the 9th District that are in line waiting for this money to come through so they can get it going. Should have happened 2 weeks ago when Mitch McConnell tried to get it off the floor of the Senate and the Democrats objected because they wanted to do some other thing. This bill does a few other things, but I think it's pretty narrow and all for things related to the virus, and that's important.
Now, you mentioned the previous stimulus ran out of money. Some critics say one of the reasons it did so is that funds meant for small businesses often went to larger ones instead. They like to point generally to Ruth's Chris as Exhibit A. Now, do you believe that $2 trillion was misapplied at times or just end up being legally used in ways no one intended or expected?
Well, obviously, you know, good lawyers and good accountants are going to figure out ways to manipulate the system no matter what we do. We had to get that money out into the economy quickly, or hundreds of thousands of businesses would have had to close. Even more people would have to have been laid off and be on unemployment. We think that was important. You know, was it intended to bail out the Ruth Chris company? No. Was it intended to help small restaurants, even if they were a franchise? Yes. And I'd like to remind people, I was on the call earlier this week with bankers from the 9th District and learned that the Powell Valley Bank, which is a small bank in deep southwest Virginia, had lent out $22 million to keep a lot of businesses down there open. This is an area that's economically devastated for various reasons. And as a result, a number of businesses down there will be able to survive this COVID-19 and the economic crisis brought about by it. I think that's extremely important, and that's what I'm focused on.
We are speaking with 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. Congressman, are we near the point, though, regardless of how well this may be working in many minds, that the federal government simply cannot afford to provide more such assistance?
Yes, yes, we are. And people have to remember, I think you asked me the last time I was on, who's going to pay for all this? And I said, the taxpayers, you and I, all of us. So it is. We are getting close to that point, and we're going to have to reopen the economy. The medical data indicates we're close. Whether we're there yet or not, people can debate about. A number of states are opening up. Georgia's opening up. Tennessee's opening up in the next couple of weeks. So Virginia's going to have to take a look at that. That's a decision for the governor, but I will be hopefully talking with him tomorrow. We have a regular scheduled conference with all the members of the House and the Senate with the governor. And, you know, I think it's time. I told him last week that, you know, you got to have some rules. We have to do some different things. But hairstylists are allowed to go to individual homes. Now, I can't speak for Fairfax and Richmond, but down here, most of the time you're talking about one or two chair facilities, and maybe they've got three or four, and you just distance between them. But what we have now is that the hairstylist goes to house A. There could be six or seven people in that house. Nobody, you know, knows what their health condition is. The hairstylist packs up all of his or her stuff, goes to house B. There's a greater likelihood that we're spreading the virus doing that than if we said, okay, you have to have your chairs 6 feet apart, people have to wear masks, and you can't have people sitting in the waiting area. They'll have to call to come in when it's their turn. That's a safer proposal, actually having that business open, than having people going from house to house. So there's some things we can do. Nursing homes are going to probably forever be changed. We're going to have to, you know, check temperatures and wear masks at nursing homes. They've been hit the hardest. But it is time for us to have some, you know, some rules that make sense and get our businesses open again.
All right, it's 8:51, 9 before the hour. 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith is with us this morning. And Congressman, Governor Northam has repeatedly said Virginia's had to compete with other states, with hospitals, even with the federal government to purchase personal protective equipment. He has called upon the White House to develop a national system for doing so. Now, Congressman, do you agree with that particular approach?
Well, I think that, you know, having as we come out of this, should we look at having more PPE, personal protection equipment, available in the national stockpile? Absolutely. But the next big disease may need something else. And so we're trying to guess what we need in each one of these situations. But we have put more money into the stockpile over the last 4 or 5 years. It's not a question of not having enough money. It's that the experts bought the wrong things. Okay, look, we're all human. We'll make mistakes. But we put the money in. We should be looking at that. Certainly, PPE makes sense. Those are the things that the gowns, the masks, et cetera. We should have a huge stockpile at the federal level. So if we have another outbreak, we've got the ability to deal with it and have that equipment available. But, you know, like I said, we don't know what the next disease will look like. There will be another somewhere down the road. We just have to try to be as prepared as we can be.
Congressman, you mentioned talks about how to reopen Virginia. Some people have suggested to us that it could also be done in part by region, that this part of Virginia is not experiencing outbreaks to the extent of other areas, notably Fairfax County, the Williamsburg area, and some others. Do you think that there is sense in considering opening at different ways at different points by region?
I think that does make sense. It's more complicated for the governor's team to figure out, and I get that. An example is that we didn't have any cases in the 9th District. I think I mentioned this before when I was on. No cases in the 9th District when they closed down the schools. In fact, the closest case in Virginia was 100 miles away. We probably could have kept our schools open another week. But, you know, the governor is being cautious, and I'm not going to fault him for being cautious when before we had data in and knew what was going on. You also have to look at the relative health of areas. Down in deep southwest in Buchanan County, they've had a small outbreak at a small private school down there. But the population surrounding that school is highly susceptible. It's older and a lot of lung issues, both because of smoking and because a number of folks have worked in the mines. And even if you don't have black lung, there's general consensus it has weakened your lungs a little bit if you've been down in the mines for 10 or 15 years. So, you know, we may have to be more careful in places like that where we don't have a huge outbreak, but the population surrounding the outbreak we do have is very, very vulnerable to this disease.
Returning to Washington, Congressman, you're now in your 10th year in Congress, so you've had a chance to take in a lot. What has this epidemic pandemic taught you about the federal government that you did not already know by now?
Well, I will tell you, I'm pleasantly surprised. Now, it hasn't worked on the emergency disaster loans because the SBA has been running that, but Secretary Mnuchin at the Treasury Department came up with this concept, or somebody on his team did, to let the local banks handle this PPP program. And from March 27th to just before the middle of April, they took a program from its infancy all the way to getting checks into people's pockets. And that is amazing. I was surprised that the federal government could move that fast. Hasn't done as well on some of the other programs. It can't predict everything. So even though we spent, you know, mass amounts of money on a national stockpile, we didn't have all the right stuff for this particular disease. So that's that I anticipated, that we spend a lot of money in hopes that we're getting it right, but you can't always get it right. But the speed with which the government has been able to deal with this, even with the flaws, far exceeded my expectations. Normally, the federal government is much harder to work through. It's also taught us that a lot of these regulations have gotten in the way, and we've had to suspend them. Maybe we need to take a look at a lot of these regulations that kept us from getting things done quickly. Maybe we need to streamline things at the CDC and the FDA. Maybe we need to make sure that we have business regulations where they actually make sense even in a time of crisis.
Congressman Morgan Griffith is joining us right now, 9th District Republican. One of the greatest surprises that I've heard from people in recent weeks is that the vast majority, it seems, of all prescription medicines used in this country are manufactured in China. Now, whatever one thinks of that, is there anything the federal government can or should do to change that?
Absolutely. And I didn't list that as part of the surprise because serving on the Health Subcommittee of Energy and Commerce, I was aware of that. It comes from China. It comes from India. This is where our drug supply is today. Federal government has to change policies to make it more inducive to making those products in the United States or its territories. But we also have to make sure we don't just make it all in one state or territory, because we ran into a problem. Didn't make big news, but we ran into a problem with the two hurricanes in Puerto Rico because a big chunk of supplies are made there as well. And we got critically short on some of the things we needed in our hospitals. So we need to make sure we have it spread out across the United States a little bit, but we need to make sure that our medical supply chain has a significant portion of that chain being produced in the United States. And I'm hopeful that once we get through this, the president will move in that direction. I've been given some assurances by high-ranking officials that will be the case. We have at least four companies, maybe four, five, six, but I know of at least four in the 9th District that are now making masks, some making gowns. They're capable of doing it. We are in part of what used to be the textile belt. People know how to make these things. It's just that, you know, if you can make it for a tenth of the cost, you go to China. Well, now we've found out why you don't want that. You want this stuff being made in the United States.
All right. 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith, we appreciate your time, Congressman, during a busy time right now. But I'm sure we'll talk again down the road here before too long. Thank you for joining us.
I look forward to it, and y'all have a great day.
You too. Good morning. It is 8:58.